Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning on this Sunday morning in the Sunday Morning Sanctuary. I'm your host, Minister Tracy McKelvin, and I am here to encourage you in the word of the Lord because it is a new day and you shall rejoice and be glad in it. This morning, we are going to continue on with the series, The Plan of God, and this morning's topic is going to be overcoming the spirit of frustration. You know, we do have times when we're planning and going forth in life's journey that we become frustrated. And that's a given because everything is not going to go our way. And also, it's a part of the flesh. So we have to know how to overcome that spirit of frustration and move forward and continue to be successful. But before we go into our topic this morning, we're going to have a word of prayer by Prophet Paul Brantley. And then we're going to continue on into our topic, which I feel is my weakest part, because I do become frustrated real easy when things are not going as planned. And I get ahead of God. I'll jump out there and hear part of a plan and stop in the middle of the plan and ask what to do next. I do it all the time. But I am overcoming that. I am overcoming frustration right now as we speak. So, Prophet, if you would grace us with a word of prayer.
Amen. God, our Father, we thank you. Thank you this morning for waking us up. Thank you for granting unto us your grace, your mercy, and your everlasting life. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, that we'll rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you now that you'll send now prosperity in this day. We thank you for the listeners, God, that are listening to us this morning, that are seeking your will even the more, understanding your plan, and being able to operate and fulfill the plan of God for our life. We thank you now for this time of broadcast. We thank you for the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and what you're going to shed in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So, this morning, Prophet, we're going to talk about that theme called frustration. And how we can overcome it. I mean, I know that being an entrepreneur, especially my husband and I have been in business since 2003. And the things that we have come up against trying to make it and be successful in our businesses, which we have, but it's been times when we just want to throw up our hands. In the planning process especially, you know, just forget it. We don't have enough money to do this. We don't have enough money to do that. This person said no. That person said no. Well, where's the yes? I'm going to keep pushing till I get a yes. Or I'm going to stop pushing because I'm tired of people not telling me yes. You know, it's been things like that we've had happen in our lives. So now we're going to really talk about how to recognize that spirit coming
right,
and to deal with it before it overtakes us.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that I guess we all deal with, and nobody ever can say I never deal with it, is frustration. It is the chief demon, I believe, that the enemy launches against the body of Christ. Because when you become frustrated, you become aggravated. And when you become aggravated, you become disappointed. When you become disappointed, you no longer want to do it. It's no longer pushing you. It's no longer desiring you. It releases fear, and fear has persecution. So it releases all of the elements of doubt. It takes and drives away faith. So when faith and when this faith runs into frustration and frustration and faith run into each other, it's such a painful experience because there's really no way to really build yourself out of it once it comes unless you have somebody to encourage you or you know how, as David did, to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now that becomes a struggle because everybody, you know, first law of nature is self-preservation. So it becomes very frustrating when you have to encourage yourself,
okay,
and yourself don't even want to, yourself don't even like you. It becomes like, wait a minute, I don't even like you. Why would I encourage you? Because I don't even like you right now. So those are the elements that really can cause us to really lose out on the plan of God, cause us to walk away from the plan of God, and even cause us to abort the baby before it goes full term. And the worst thing you can do is abort the plan before it becomes full term or before it matures.
Right.
Because God does not give us anything at all until we are mature enough to handle it. And then also this maturity means that we can be trusted
mm-hmm.
with it. Why give a person $1 million when you can't even trust them with $10?
Okay.
So you have to be trusted with this thing. So it's a part of the frustration process because God, you know, I like to say that about God is that he's not crazy. He's not stupid. He doesn't suffer from some Alzheimer's. He doesn't have dementia. He knows what he does. And we become frustrated because we're like, God, this ain't working. I'm tired. I'm through. I don't want to deal with it no more. Whatever. We'll just let it be. Whatever it is, you know, whatever will be, will be. We don't care.
You said something the other night in word study. You said two things that really just caught me. The first one is, it's easy to run, but it's difficult to stand. I love that. And it's true. And that has a big thing to do with maturity because, you know, when you're young in the plan, you run.
Yeah.
You run ahead. You're like, I'm knocking down walls. I'm knocking down barriers. I don't care who, what, when, and where get in my way. They're going to get pushed out the way. And as soon as our adversity comes and you got to grow up, you'll want to stop. But the maturity part is to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to do that because of adversity. You got to stand in the midst of adversity. Everything is not going to go your way. And the other thing he said that really caused my fervor for my plan to come back is even in the frustration, the plan still works.
Mm. Wow.
Even in your frustration, your plan will still work because it's not your plan alone. It's God's plan. And God's plan, his will for your life concerning that plan is going to go forth with or without you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, that's part of this early morning prayer I had. And God was like, you got two options. You could either fight or flight. You know, we in the body of Christ, we have two options in our plan. We either fight for the plan or we flight. We take off flight and we leave the plan and we abandon the ideal. And when those two things collide with each other, the thing that matters the most is the thing that you'll fight for. If your plan really matters, you'll fight for it. Elijah deals with this. We were dealing on Tuesday night, we were dealing with Elisha, and we were talking about how he had this wonderful battle on Mount Carmel, and he's battled with the prophet of Baal, and, you know, they had this battle, and they go through these changes, and Elisha wins the battle. You know, and he tells Ahab, you know, it's going to rain. Let's get down from this mountain. And he sends a servant out 2-3 times, and he finally sees the rain, and he outruns the chariot. Elijah has one of the most experienced, one of the most wonderful experiences he can have, just like we do.
Yeah.
And I pause here for a station identification, because we have those wonderful experiences when we go to church. Those experiences are so wonderful. They're so great. We are on top of the world, and all of a sudden we come home to chaos. We come home to craziness. We go to work to chaos. We go to work to craziness. And all of a sudden, all that joy, all that excitement, all that, oh, my God, I'm running after you. No matter what I have to do, I need you more and more becomes, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I don't want to do this no more. And it doesn't take long because the enemy knows the only way to destroy us is to destroy our joy, is to make us to become frustrated in this process of the faith. And again, the enemy, his job is to target our faith. It's not to target your ideal of faith. It is to target your faith because he knows that's the only thing you and I are living by. We don't have anything else that we live by other than faith. So he has to target our faith. So after Elijah experiences this wonderful thing in 1 Kings chapter 19, he experiences this wonderful move of God, and after this wonderful move of God, he gets to this place in the wilderness, and he's sitting underneath the juniper tree, and he tells the Lord the thing that I think we oftentimes say, not paying attention to what we're doing because we're angry. He says, because Jezebel wants him dead. Jezebel says, by this time tomorrow, what you've done to them is going to be done to you. And he says the crazy thing, I guess, probably one of the craziest things you could say. He said, Lord, heal me. Take me out of here. I don't want to do this no more. Take me out. I would that I was dead. I would that you would come and get me. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord comes to him And I like the words he said, okay, enough now. Okay, now enough of this. And I think that's verse 4 of chapter 19. He says to himself, he's like, okay, he said, enough now. Oh, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. He said, look, I'm done. Enough of this. He has the same experience that Jeremiah has while he's thinking in the doom pit. Jeremiah says, I don't even want to do this no more. The difference between the two is that God tells Elisha to go to a place, and then inside of Jeremiah, he actually ignites him. It's a, you know, and that's, I think those are two stages we go through. We either, God takes us to a place, or he ignites us on the inside.
But the thing is this, when Elisha did this, he set himself up.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of us do. We set ourselves up with the words that come out of our mouths. Mm-hmm. I tell my kids, I tell my friends, be careful what you say, because what you do, your words become an action. Or they become, they go into the atmosphere or the spirit realm,
mm-hmm.
and they set a law into motion. Meaning, they just like God's word has to be answered. We're heirs, remember that. Heirs and priests.
Yeah.
So join heirs to the throne. We're those things. So guess what? Our words have to be answered. So when we speak this stuff is the law of reciprocity. What you sow, that's mm-hmm. a seed. Your words are a seed. They're going to grow up, they're going to spring up, and they're going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to reap those words.
Yeah.
So go on, prophet, and tell them what happened to Elijah.
Well, now here's our frustration. He's already frustrated, we know, and he speaks this word. Now, we got to remember, the Bible does teach us in the book of Proverbs that whatsoever we sow, whatever a man speaks out of his mouth, that our words are seeds. When we sow them, they plant themselves inside of the earth, and they manifest themselves. They plant themselves in the spirit, I should say, and they manifest themselves in the earth. So we have to understand that we're snared by the words of our mouth.
Exactly.
We're taken by the words of our mouth. That word snare means to be brought into captivity with what you just spoke.
Yeah.
Now, that right there should cause a whole lot of us to just kind of be careful what we say at this from this point on. Because there's one scripture in the New Testament that talks about it, and that scripture in the New Testament says that we're going to have to give an account for every idle word. So that means words that we speak really have power, and we got to give an account to those words. So we find him now saying, okay, I'm done. I'm finished. He said, I myself would die. He said, enough is enough now. I'm tired of it all. And God here is at the juniper tree with him. An angel comes and wakes him up. Even in his frustration, the angel wakes him up, feeds him. feed him. He had no food. He gonna feed him.
Frustrated,
and still getting ready to eat by an angel. And then the Bible says after he does this, he goes back to sleep. And the angel comes back a second time and touch him and say, arise and eat, for the journey is great. Okay, he says, look, man, you can't even sleep in your frustration. You know, because one of the things we happen when we're frustrated, we sleep a lot. When we get frustrated, we sleep more. So he's like, man, you are not even going to sleep in this time. You're not going to sleep. Wake up. Let's go ahead and get this. He goes now in his journey. He travels to a cave. He's now hiding himself in the cave. And the Bible asks, and God asked him a question. He said, Elijah, I think in verse 9, he said, look, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, I was very zealous of the Lord. I was very jealous of what was going on. I'm tired of this process. And the Lord begins to deal with him. And when he begins to deal with him, he tells him, he said, well, look, I got this I'm going to do for you, Elijah. Come out here, and I'm going to speak to you. And he goes out to this, the side of the mountain. And while he's there, there's lightning, there's thunder, there's wind. The mountain is torn apart. And all of this happens, and God's not in none of it.
Okay.
You went through all of this now, and God's not in it. Now, I don't know about you, but it can be frustrating to have all these natural things happen around you, and then God's not in it. But the Bible does say he does show up, but he shows up in a small, still voice, a calm voice. He shows up and tells Elijah this, get down from here and go down. I have a person that I want you to lay your mantle on, and it's going to replace you. Now, here's a good part for us to really start to recognize that when we become so frustrated, God will literally replace us.
Yes, he will. And what's so crazy about it, here, how you train your replacement.
Now, see, now you're meddling with all the other stuff. you meddling with all the other stuff, because I think when we get down to verse, I think it's 20.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down to verse 20, he starts to share with him. He says, you know, get down here, get this man, this young man named Elisha. He puts his mantle on Elisha, and Elisha goes running after the prophet and says, look, man, let me go kiss my mom and my daddy, and then I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. Because now he realizes that God has placed this anointing on his life. And he goes running, and Elisha says, and this is a blessing, because Elijah said, man, what did I do to you? And he realizes now what he was praying in verse number 4, what he had said out of his mouth, that he was done and finished, didn't want to do it no more, enough is enough. Then he finds himself in verse 20 of chapter 19, I believe it is.
Yes.
He finds himself now going ahead and laying on his mantle and said, he looked at him and said, go back again, for what have I done to thee? He realizes, man, I have really given you a place in God that's going to replace me. And God actually replaces Elijah with Elisha because Elijah had become frustrated.
Yes.
And spoke things out of his mouth against the plan of God. Speaks it out of his mouth against the plan of God. Against the plan, that's his plan. That was his job as a prophet, is to herald the word of God, to declare the word of God, to come against anything that came against God. And it's amazing that after he does this, in verse 21, he does this, he said, man, what have I done to thee? In verse 21, he was saying, well, look, he goes back, he slays himself an ox, he feeds everybody, and then runs and finds Elijah and ministers to him. Now, you'll find out that when you're frustrated, God will send people to minister to you. And what you sometimes we miss it, while we're ministering and other folks are ministering to us, God is literally replacing us. He's literally saying, okay, I need you to train him because I'm going to replace you because you're too frustrated to finish the process.
Yes.
And that's the thing that we cannot become in the body of Christ. We cannot become so frustrated that we don't finish the process.
We put too much of me in the way.
Absolutely.
And me won't get out the way. Me has a hard time getting out of the way. And that's, when we hear people say you miss God,
mm-hmm.
that's what it means when you miss God. Too much of you is in the way that you can't see him. You can't hear him. You can't receive from him. It's all about you and your plan and whatever you have going on till God becomes insignificant or irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
And how can that be? You can't do anything without God.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I think about this, now this will probably carry us to a different level, but when I think about this, I think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is agonizing. Blood, sweat, and tears are coming from him.
Frustrated.
He's frustrated with, God, I don't want to go through this. But and listen to the difference between him and Elisha. He says, nevertheless, not as I will, your will be done.
He overcame frustration
right there. When he realizes that my will really doesn't matter right now, it is the will of the Father
mm-hmm.
that I travel this path. And if I travel this path, the plan that was given to me by the Father that I should go and redeem man, because when the Father looked out on the universe, he said, who can we get to go and redeem man? Nobody asked Jesus to stand up.
Yeah. But see, what we do, we ignore the warning signs.
Yeah.
Because you can pick it off real quick when you're getting ready to become frustrated. The first reason you become frustrated, you didn't sit down long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about you as far as, you don't do your plan. I'm talking about you, your spirit, your personality, your character. It doesn't sit down long enough to let God speak to it,
mm-hmm.
help write the plan,
mm-hmm.
and tell you how to execute the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing we got to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm guilty of that. I'll sit down and get part of a plan,
mm-hmm.
and I get so excited. You know, God is saying to me, Tracy, hold your horses. Wait 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
So I get up and start doing things and get halfway into the plan. Sometimes I don't even get halfway. I get a fourth of the way into the plan and stuck.
Yeah.
And that's when you get stuck, that's when frustration really starts creeping in.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, because our fight is not to abandon the plan during the process. That's the fight, is to not abandon the plan during the process. Because we don't pray about the process, we just pray about the end result.
Yes. Right.
You know, the end result is I want to be a millionaire. The end result, I want to live like this. The end result, I want to have this. The end result, I want to be this. End result, I want my business to go forth. The end result, I want this to happen. That's the end result. But what we have to be careful is the process between getting to what you want and to get that thing to manifest. That's the thing that we have to be careful of, because while we're waiting on it to manifest, those are the times of our frustration. And it's how do you handle that? How do you deal with that time period? Now, it's excellent. We got to wait on it. We've got to make sure we get the full plan of God. We got to make sure we understand the plan of God. And listen, it's not we're going to understand it by and by when the morning comes.
Come on.
Some glad morning. When I get to heaven, I'm going to understand the plan. When I get to heaven, I'm going to see God. I'm going to see what the plan was. I'm going to live in my mansion. I'm going to become this and that. And God's like, are you serious? You have the ability to have all of these things now because we are sitting in heavenly places. We are actually living right now in heavenly places. So we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to have. We're supposed to be wealthy. We're supposed to live great. We're supposed to live good. So we have to understand that it's the process. So how do I overcome this frustration? I've got to yield my will to His. That's the first
thing. Right.
I've got to yield my will. Because, again, I said this earlier, first law of nature, self-preservation. Well, I've got to stop trying to preserve myself and preserve the plan of God. I've got to preserve the will of God. I've got to say that even have dominance over my own plan, my own desire, my own will. I've got to yield my will to the Father. Say, okay, God, this is you. However you want to do this, wherever you want to take this, I'm submitting to your will, even though I may not like the process.
Amen. Amen. And that's what we have to get to. We have to get to a point where we subdue our flesh and cause our flesh to be subdued. And we have to resist the flesh just like we have to resist the enemy so the flesh will flee. Because if we allow our flesh to continue to take over, we can't hear,
mm-hmm.
we can't function, we can't move, we can't conquer,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't overcome. We have to be willing at some point to give up the I
mm-hmm.
and take in the he.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't do that, that's where we cause our plan to it doesn't fail, because God's plan, you know, his word, it will accomplish much, and it will not return to him void. But what he'll do, he will put somebody else in the place.
Absolutely.
He will replace you in the plan, because his plan has got to be carried out. I don't care what he has to use to get it to cause it to come to fruition, he will get you out of the way.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. Something that you worked hard on just as well as poured into, then the next minute it's just completely out of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, the chat room has been open. I didn't announce it. But if there are any questions in these last 7 minutes that we have on the air with you, please put them in the chat room and we'll answer them as best as we know how, according to the Holy Spirit. We thank you for, if you're listening live to us, we thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. We even thank our listeners who come on after we've gone off the air and listen to us give the word of God to encourage you that don't give up the fight. Don't give up the plan. Continue to tread forward. The Bible says that a man that puts his hand forth to the plow, not looking back, is fit for the kingdom. So we just want you to be fit for the kingdom according to God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Continue on.
Yeah, and the Bible says this, and you said something earlier. The Bible says this, if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he'll flee. This is a part of overcoming that frustration.
Yes.
I've got to submit myself to God, and I've got to resist it. Because once I submit, it's easier to resist.
Yes.
Once I submit to God, it's easier to say, you know what, devil, I don't even have to bind you. I don't have to go through no changes. I ain't got to lay out and go through no 3 weeks fast. I ain't got to go through no 20-day fast. I ain't got to lay out no fleas. I don't have to do the David fast. I don't have to do the Daniel fast. I don't have to do none of that. All I've got to do is submit myself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's all I've got to do. I've got to learn how to just say, okay, God, I bow out. I bow out gratefully. I bow out. I don't say, you know, I've learned that, you know, when I'm frustrated and go through, I just learned how to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned how to shut my mouth and just be quiet, because I know in my frustration I will say something that will void or delay the thing that God has for me. And I don't really want anything to be voided or delayed, not in this season. And I'm quite sure there are a lot of our listeners that are listening now to say the same thing. I can't afford for anything to be voided or delayed in this season. So that's why we have to be careful, that it's better just to be quiet than it is to open up your mouth and then wind up eating the fruit of the words that you spoke.
And not only that, you're on a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a time limit. And the reason why I say that is because you are not, we got to come to understand, we're not going to be here forever. So you don't have all this time in the world to keep getting frustrated because you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. We're not listening. But I'm going to go to Psalms 90, 10 through 12, and it says, the days of our years are 70 years. 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, not your strength, his strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So after he's like, okay, you work long enough.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work long enough, and that's, I can say it like this, you don't work that long enough at doing nothing
mm-hmm.
but being frustrated, okay? But that time clock has not stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Who knoweth the power of thine anger? See, he even addresses that.
Mm-hmm.
Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So you work in the midst of your frustration, toiling, sweating, and not going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what he comes back and says is this. So teach us to number our days. That means observe that you have, you're on a time limit,
mm-hmm.
that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So you exercising your heart in anger and in fear instead of in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he said, get the principal thing right now. Get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Operate in wisdom.
Yeah.
And if you operate in wisdom, that means you will submit yourself to him
yeah.
and resist yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you're your biggest enemy.
Absolutely.
We give too much, I said it on yesterday in an encouraging moment, we give too much credit and too much time to the enemy.
Absolutely.
According to our lives. Because we spend more time rebuking him
mm-hmm.
and trying to bind him up when all we have to do is submit ourselves to God.
Absolutely.
And resist him and he will flee.
Absolutely. And it doesn't take a lot. It sounds like a lot, but it really takes a commitment to say this is more important than all of that.
Put it this way, say it like, and they say it in the natural, stop, drop, and roll.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. All day long. All day long.
And what you're doing with him, drop to your knees
yeah.
and roll on out the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we have to do.
All we got to do. And I think, again, here's the challenge this week for all of our listeners. Here's the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Is to relook at your plan and tell God, I thank you for the process, for helping me
yes.
with this process. I know what my plan is. We already know Jeremiah 29:11. His plan is to prosper us and do us no harm. Two things that his plan requires, to prosper us and do us no harm. So this is our week. This is the assignment this week for those of you that are listening to us and catch us later on Facebook or on the social medias. Here's your assignment. I want you to relook at your plan and then tell God, Lord, teach me how to go through this process while my plan is going forth, how to rest in you, how to rest in this process without becoming frustrated, without becoming aggravated, and without saying something out of my mouth that's going to cause the plan to be delayed, denied, or otherwise. So this is the plan. This is the thing I want you to do this week again, is look at your plan and say, God, thank you for the process. Thank you for helping me to understand the process without becoming frustrated and aggravated. Thank you. And then, God, send the right people in my life that can help cultivate my process.
Amen.
Send the right people that can help cultivate. I don't want to tell them all my business. I just want them to understand they were sent from God to help cultivate this process. And God will do that. He'll send the right people your way this week that will help cultivate the process without you becoming consumed in the aggravation.
Yes. And understand that faith, our faith, and the reality of life are going to collide. He said that Tuesday night in study, and that just really brought everything to life. That faith and reality are going to collide. But what you have to do is to purpose to say, help me, Lord, with the process and cause me to rest. One thing he said based on Romans 8:28 is it doesn't require faith to rest.
Mm.
Just like I said earlier, stop, drop, and roll. Just get yourself out the way. The biggest thing of it is just stop right there.
Yeah.
When you see it, when you smell it, when you feel it, when you just even get an inkling that it's happening,
yeah.
just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. God will honor you stopping and saying, okay,
mm-hmm.
Where did I miss it? What part of the plan I did not write or I did not receive?
Mm-hmm.
So speak to me, Lord, right here as I stop.
Yeah.
Like the old saying is, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
That ain't good, but don't
wreck yourself.
Don't wreck yourself. Just stop. Well, we thank you for being in with us this morning. We love you. We hope to see you next week. Right here, same channel, same people, same topic, till we get what God has put before us. And you can find us on Facebook under Reproving Word, or you can go to my page, Tracy McKelvin, or you can go to his page, Prophet Paul Brantley. And we are there for you. We're here to encourage you. We're never too big to talk to you. And so we want you to talk to us as well. So we will see you back here. And I just want to give a plug in for my secular show, which starts tomorrow night, Monday night at 7 p.m., and it's called the Plan in Action Show, where we are really dealing with businesses, ministries, and nonprofits on how to be successful. And these principles apply. I'll be talking more from a secular nature, and I will throw in some scriptures just to bring it to light. But we want to see you in the place tomorrow, 7 p.m. The links will be on my Status Quo Consulting page and on my Tracy Cooper McKelvin page. And it will also be on my website, which is statusquoconsulting.com. And the show starts at 7, and it's on Ustream TV. Ustream.tv/StatusQuo.tv. So you can go there and join us and hear what it takes to get your business up and going. Love you. See you next week.